This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So right now, we bring on the manager, Chris Woodward. Now, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us again today. And we have already started our Lance Lynn Cy Young campaign. Would you like to come join us?
I've been on that bandwagon for a long time. Ever since last year, obviously, when I saw him, you know, kind of get through those first starts. You know, I kind of ran into a little bit of trouble at the beginning of last year, and just the, you know, the grit and the warrior mentality that he has, and then obviously he started really figuring things out. So I'm on board, man. I think he's definitely destined to have a really good year this year.
Well, Woody, I love what Lance Lynn is doing. Honestly, you're getting great pitching every day from your staff. I know yesterday in the top of the eighth inning, you know, it was a 2-2 game. You gave up a couple runs. But for the most part, you guys are putting up goose eggs almost every time whoever it is takes the mound.
Yeah, it's been really good. I think, you know, that's a, like I said before, it's a testament to the preparation that, you know, our staff and our players put in this time off. It's hats off to these guys, because some of these guys came in. We didn't have a whole lot of expectations for some of them, and they came in and proved that they belong here, and they're continuing to go out and, like you said, put up zeros.
Now, yesterday, Woody, you had to go to Goody as the closer, and 1-2-3, great job of closing. Can you give us any type of update on Leclerc and then how you might have to handle the ninth inning in save situations if Leclerc can't go?
Yeah, we're kind of waiting to see. We haven't found out the exact details of what's going on, but once we find out, then we'll obviously all know more about how long, if he's going to be out. And then obviously, you know, guys are going to have to take on roles, and I said that from day one with these guys as soon as we got into camp. We obviously knew Montero was going to be down, Jolie Rodriguez was down, and Brett Martin was down, so we had, you know, a lot of openings to fill roles. And, you know, one thing I stressed to our bullpen was there are no roles. You know, I may use certain guys in the eighth, I may use certain guys in the sixth, in the seventh, whatever I feel like is best according to where their lineup is and how they match up. So our guys have been great. You know, they've been resilient. They don't really, you know, nobody really cares down there. Chavi's done a great job of kind of leading those guys. So I think if Leclerc's down, we got to kind of do it the same when it comes to closing. And, you know, we have some guys with some experience, obviously, with Volquez and Chavez, but the other guys have stepped up as well.
I just want to confirm, Woody, the Colby Allard is the pitcher that's going to be replacing Corey Kluber, correct?
Yes. Yeah, he'll be starting the last game in San Francisco.
Can you kind of explain the decision to go with him over any of the other options, or what was the thinking there?
Yeah, I think he kind of represents, I think what we saw from Palumbo, you know, especially in those first two innings, kind of leads us to believe that he may be better suited for, you know, especially in this season, in the role he's in. To kind of come out of the pen and throw a couple innings like that. I mean, he's pretty much lights out. He's really tough on lefties with the spin and with his fastball. So we felt he was better suited to kind of be in the bullpen with that. And Colby, you know, he's a starter. He's got a starter's mentality. It doesn't matter right, left. You know, he loves that role, and I think he's better suited for that role as well. So it doesn't necessarily mean he's going to have to fill in and go six or seven innings. It just means he's got to go as long as he can to kind of hand it off to whoever's ready the next.
Now, you guys have another day off today. Do you kind of wish that Major League Baseball had spread those around a little bit more when you have stretches of like 12 to 16 games in a row?
Yeah. I didn't really love the three off days at the beginning of the year because we got another one coming after San Fran as well. Those three off days, I think one too many. We could have actually done with just one of them, to be honest with you. You know, you see other teams around the league, they're playing, you know, 7 out of 8 days, where we're only playing 5 out of 8 days. So I think it's just the way the two-game schedule with Arizona. They usually do that. They put it off day before and behind it. So I think we just got a little bit, I don't know if it's unlucky, but just where that two-game series just happened to be at the beginning of the year. So other teams, you know, will have that at the end or somewhere in the middle. Maybe that's better. But listen, we'll deal with whatever we have to deal with. We're not worried about it.
Well, one of the things that we talked about in terms of dealing what you have to deal with this season is the doubleheader and potentially some conversations around baseball about having the doubleheader being 2 7-inning games this year. What would you think about that as just like a baseball person in general and then as a manager of a team?
I think I'm kind of torn on that one because I know it makes sense. You know, I know it makes sense to have 2 7-inning games, you know, save, you know, pitching, and you see what's happening around the league. You know, arms, a lot of arms are going down. And I think it just has a lot to do with, you know, the way the quick startup plus the not playing, you know, opposing teams. You know, you just don't have that same, you know, we talked about the intensity, but you're getting all these arm injuries. You know, I know it's going to help, but as a baseball, you know, purist, I guess, you know, I like the 9 innings. But I understand why we would do it, and I would obviously fully support it. I think it would help us for this year. I wouldn't obviously recommend it moving forward.
So, Woody, last year we talked about this before the season started. You guys were one of the more aggressive American League teams running the bases last year and stealing bases. And last year, you know, I know it's only 5 games, but it looks like last year we know you played in more of a hitter's park. It looks like this year is more of a pitcher's park through 5 games. I love how aggressive you guys have been. Joey Gallo's even stole second base to get in scoring position with 2 outs. Is it going to be even more important to be aggressive and take some of those extra bases the way the park looks like it's going to play?
100%. That's something that, you know, when I got here, you know, I made sure that that's how we were gonna play. You know, I just believe in creating pressure, you know, on every front. You know, the second, you know, you let up a little bit on the bases and the other team knows it, you know, as a pitcher, Mike, like, when you know that guy's not going, your full intent goes to home plate. And, you know, if there's any kind of stress, you see what Bumgarner did yesterday. You know, he started looking at us and picking over, and, you know, we take a little bit of his focus. Some of the greats don't really, it doesn't really matter. They're still going to execute. But most pitchers, I would say 95% of them, if they get a little bit rattled or they think that guy at first is a threat, it takes a little bit away from their stuff, whether that's command or whether it's velocity or whatever. It gives the hitter a better chance to maybe get in the hitter's count or get a better pitch to hit. So 100%, we're going to, and I don't mind saying that. You know, I don't care if that strategy is known. I want them to know that. In fact, you know, if that means we steal less bases because they're paying more attention to us, that's fine. I'm okay with that. But I know that the stress level is going to create, you know, obviously better opportunities for our hitters in the long run.
Look at that, Woody puffing his chest out. I like that a lot, man. Hey, the runs last night in that 8th inning, it feels like a can kind of opened up. Was there a little bit of a sense of relief with the club after the game that, hey, you know, we've been sticking with this, we've been sticking with our approach, and it worked because this is what our plan is all along, and we just kind of had to find that groove?
Yeah, no, it was definitely. I think, you know, a lot of guys would say the same thing. I think, you know, I don't think we were kind of getting caught up in the urgency, and it was bordering into panic. You know what I mean? Just because I know as a player, you know, personally, when you start to struggle at the beginning of the year, it's different than any other time in the season because you just don't know how that season is going to end. You know what I mean? You think, okay, if I'm going to have a bad year if I get a bad start. As a team, it's even worse, right, because everybody tries to do too much. And you see how disciplined certain guys were, you know, in our inter-squad games or even in the first couple games. And then once that kind of, you know, the borderline panic sets in, I want urgency. Like, we have to have urgency in a 60-game season, but we can't border into panic, and it's a fine line. So what I was seeing was a little bit of panic, and our guys they care. They want to win. They care. So it wasn't out of a bad place. It was just, you know, we needed to kind of get back to, you know, some relaxing, you know, with the same urgency. Like I said, it's always a fine line, but I felt a lot more relieved, and I know our players did as well, to say, okay, that's what we can do. That's what we look like when we're pumping on all cylinders. And all those hits, all those at-bats were with 2 strikes. And that was something that we stressed on heavily in spring training. Because this ballpark plays big, we got to keep the ball low. You know, we can't be trying to hit just miss fly balls and, you know, flying out to the warning track and getting upset. We got to keep that ball low, keep the ball on the ground, keep the ball on the line. That way we can go first to third, we can steal bases, we can, you know, stretch singles into doubles, that kind of thing.
Is that because Elvis mentioned that last night after the game that that's going to be what y'all can take to y'all's best advantage is what y'all can do with this field. Was there a little sense then of, you know what, the confidence levels were a little low because we were trying to hit them out, and now we see how the angles on this stadium can help us then?
Yeah, I don't know if our guys were trying to hit homers. I think they were just trying to drive the ball, you know. And I think there is a difference, you know, when you're hitting a 2-iron instead of a 7-iron. You know, I mean, I kind of relate it to that. You can manipulate your, you know, your launch angle, I guess you would say. But just, you know, when you focus on that, especially even in a quality of bat, runner on second, nobody out, or runner on second, one out, you're trying to drive them in instead of trying to drive two in. Like, you know, hit the ball in the gap, hit the ball on the line. Those will end up in homers sometimes. Obviously, we all know that. But I just don't want our miss to be a pop-up. You know what I mean? I think that, you know, if we can kind of get our happy range kind of in that, you know, ball in the gap, line drive, you know, mentality at our home park. Now, if we feel like we can crush a guy, let it eat. You know what I mean? I don't want to hold back, obviously, Joey Gallo and these guys that have power to hit from hitting homers. But when we need quality at bats, like, just lower our sights a little bit.
Do you distribute a list of pitchers you're most likely to crush during the season?
Hopefully a lot of them.
Okay, great. So I was curious, especially with the travel and everything like that, how much I know you have to focus.
And it took a lot of our time beforehand, you know, before we had our time beforehand, you know, before we ever started. You know, we were in constant communication with our players throughout this process, just talking to them about what it's going to look like. You know, what are the protocols are going to look like, what they should expect on the road, at home. So I felt like well ahead as soon as we started. Guys had a pretty good idea of what it was going to feel like and look like, and so I think we've done a good job. We're in a hot spot. Like, we're in Texas, obviously. There's a lot of cases here, so, you know, for us to not have any, and we only had some at the beginning, really. You know, the intake test is kind of, you know, guys were coming from all over the country. You know, it's different, but when we've actually been here all together, we've been good. So we just got to stay vigilant, man. Like, I think it's opened up our eyes to see what happens. You know, if maybe there's a little bit of lack of protocols. I don't know what the situation was like in Miami, but, you know, it seems like there might have been a slight lack of protocols, maybe more. And if that's the case, then our guys' eyes are wide open to say, okay, this is what could happen. We could lose basically our entire team if we don't remain vigilant.
If that's the case, do you envision Major League Baseball punishing them harshly? Because if they violated the rules and that's why it could mess up the rest of the season, that's pretty problematic.
Yeah, that's the fine line, right? Like, there has to be some pretty clear evidence that they did. And if they did, yeah, I agree. I mean, I think if anything, I think if we did it, if we broke protocols and we weren't wearing masks around the clubhouse and we weren't, you know, following MLB's protocols or our own code of conduct, you know, we should be penalized. I agree fully with that. Now, if it's somewhere in the middle, that's where it gets kind of dicey. Like, you know, all these games they're going to have to make up. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know how they're going to make them up. But if there was a clear lack of, you know, following protocols, then, you know, maybe they should be penalized. I don't know if they should forfeit the game. I don't know. I don't know what MLB is going to do about it, but we need to stop that because that could stop the whole league.
Yeah.
if that were to happen to another team.
So what do you take on the San Francisco Giants starting tomorrow? And this is interesting for you guys, and I know there's universal DH, so the rules are all the same, but you do take on three National League teams. And that means that most of your guys don't have at-bats off of these pitchers, whether it was the Rockies or the Diamondbacks. That not a lot of guys have a lot of at-bats off of these guys, even as long as Bumgarner's been in the league. And I was wondering, because you're a former hitter, how many at-bats does it take for you to have a good sense of the way a pitcher's ball moves, what he's maybe trying to do with two strikes, what he's trying to do when he's behind in the count? Because as a pitcher, it's a big deal to get to face hitters. You know what I'm talking about, but not as big a deal. It's usually hitters have a little bit, they want more time to adjust to new pitchers. And I was wondering from your perspective as a former hitter, when do you feel like you have a good idea of how the ball's going to move and what the guy's usually going to throw?
Yeah, that's a good question. Nowadays I think with, you know, we have so much more information than our guys. You know, Mike, if I'd have faced you back in the day, I would have had no video. You know, it would have been like, okay, I'm basically building my database on what I see and what I, you know, I mean, what you're throwing me in that game. Nowadays we can kind of go back and look and see video and maybe get a better idea of what a guy has. So if it's nowadays from when I played, it was probably two or three games at least where I faced you, at least. You know what I mean? Where I felt comfortable to know, you know, how your ball moved, what it looked like coming out of your hand, you know, what the spin on your ball was, what pitches, how you were going to pitch me, all those things. But now I think, you know, maybe once or twice, you know, I'm talking about games, like you have a couple, you know, six, seven at bats maybe, would make you feel a little bit more comfortable. I know it's, you know, we don't have video anymore during the game, so it's, I kind of like it. It's taking us a little bit back old school. You know, guys have to talk a lot more on the bench. You know, they're not allowed to go in and look at video. I think the video is valuable, but I also think it's been really helpful to kind of keep guys engaged in what's happening out on the field. But yeah, I don't know what the exact answer is nowadays. You probably have to ask some of our guys.
Okay.
But I would say probably a couple games at least would give them a little bit more comfort.
Hey, Woody, when a guy like Scott Heinemann hits three balls really hard the way he did last night, what's your message to him to keep his head straight? Because he's like, dude, what else can I do right now?
I know. He had three really good at-bats. And Heine probably, if I had to award an MVP of our, you know, summer camp, it would have been him. I mean, his, you know, process numbers and statistical numbers were off the chart. I mean, I think he hit 500. And they were, I mean, he led our team in pretty much every category. He hit everything hard. First pitch, you know, two strikes, didn't matter. So what I saw yesterday, I wasn't surprised. And, you know, I've been dying to kind of give him more opportunities. So when we face lefties, you know, I think I'm going to try to get him in there as much as I possibly can, just to get him to feel comfortable. He was excited. I mean, he felt he had three good at-bats. You know, he had three quality, one really productive at-bat that moved a runner. I just tell him to keep going, man. The one thing about that kid is he's relentless. So I know, I trust that he's going to be ready, you know, anytime I call him, whether he's played for 8 days in a row or hasn't played for 80. You know what I mean? He's going to be ready. And that's what I trust. And that's what I love about him.
And is that a team nickname? Is Heine his team nickname, or is that just a you and him kind of thing?
No, I think that's everybody calling.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we appreciate the time very much, Coach. Thank you for the insight on days off, nicknames, and everything in between. We'll catch you next week.
All right. Sounds good, fellas.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.